Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, I'm Chris. You might know me as the presenter of the popular podcast Park Date. There are two things I want to tell you today. The first is that I'm here in Turkmenistan on the run from the authorities for a crime that I will not specify. I've so far evaded capture. The second I wanted to let you know is that Park Date has been nominated for two awards. The Independent Podcast Awards. Park Date has been nominated for Best Comedy Podcast and Best Books Podcast. So thank you all for listening, subscribing and reviewing. And if you do want to leave a review or subscribe, that would be most welcome. Thank you. And I'm about to go and find some fresh clothes and hunt down a fox for my dinner. Bye-bye. Hello and welcome to Park Date. Here's a new episode for you, and today we have the amazing Simon Calder. Simon is probably the most famous travel journalist that you know. You recognize him from numerous TV and radio appearances. During the pandemic, Simon's insight was absolutely essential. His videos that he posted on socials kept us abreast of the world we were living in, which seemed to be getting completely out of control, and how we could live with the restrictions and manage to move around in our own countries and traveling between other countries was so complicated, and Simon was the person that we always turned to first. So for that, we'll be eternally grateful. Simon is also an incredibly lovely guy. He's had all kinds of experience in the travel industry, from working at Gatwick Airport, as we'll find out, back in the day, to traveling around the world and writing for The Independent, probably longer than anyone else has written for The Independent. So without further ado, here is the episode. And as usual, please do leave us a review and tell us what you think. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on socials at Park Date Podcast. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to the outside of the Imperial War Museum in London, and we're in the Geraldine Harmsworth Gardens, and I'm here with Simon Calder. Simon, thank you for joining me today. How's your day been?
My day's been absolutely mad. You can hear
there's a plane going over.
KLM 90 going into London City Airport. I live very close to here, and I love being under the flight paths, not just into London City, but also the Northern Runway at Heathrow. It really makes me feel connected with the world. But today has been an utter shambles. It began at British time, 4:45 in the morning, waking up in a godforsaken chambre d'hôte in the French Pyrenean town of Saint-Jérôme, eating a hurried breakfast, catching a bus to a railway station, catching a train to Toulouse, catching a metro, a tram, another bus to the airport, flying into Heathrow, waiting for what seemed like an eternity for a gate, getting off the train, off the plane, thinking, great, well, at least I'll be able to get a fast train into town, finding out that the entire fast line had been taken out, and catching the tube. So I've been running to catch up all day long. And as we speak, actually, I've just finished writing my views on the utterly shameful decision to axe the Birmingham to Manchester part of HS2, which is just the most, I think, desperate and despicable act of short-term politics that I have ever seen, and it is frankly a national disgrace.
And we've seen a few of those.
Well, yeah, but honestly, and I of course I have no time at all for the current government's attitude towards transport and travel. But the Labour Party, who 2 weeks ago said, "Yep, they were going to build the whole thing in full with Northern Powerhouse Rail," they're now saying, "No, actually, we don't know." And that, I think, is just any of the current generation of politicians will, I think, rightfully be scorned for decades to come.
Yeah, mate.
Well, that's what a miserable start to your fantastic podcast. I'm sorry, but you catch me at a time of
controversial start. Though, on the subject of, we know, Simon, so I've been writing, you might not know this, listeners, but I've been writing a book about trains and stations.
It's great, it's coming out in 2024. Yeah. And just think of the number of birthdays and other events, including Easter, Christmas, that really
Easter
deserves
present.
your loved one to enjoy a work of great literary as well as transportational
and
merit.
I must say, the high point of that book is going to be Simon Calder's contribution, which is fantastic. Simon shares some stories of his time on the rails, but I kind of was talking about the infrastructure element of that and reading about how I didn't know in Japan when they built the bullet train, very unpopular at the time, the politicians wanted to cancel it, the people didn't see the value of it. Now, you know, it's promoted as this great achievement around the world, and tourists go to ride the bullet train. I didn't realise that when they were building it in Japan, there was no enthusiasm for it.
No,
so
I guess it
takes time.
No, it takes
vision. You have to look into the future. Yeah, you have to have vision.
And actually, the successive governments have been visionary about it. It started under the, in the dying, I'm sorry to say, days of the Brown government. The coalition took it forward. Theresa May and Boris Johnson were in favour of it, but now don't get me started. But of course, across in France, you can barely, you know, any mayor is desperate to get a high-speed station, even if it is somewhere like TGV, Aix-en-Provence TGV, which is some godforsaken motorway junction outside Marseille Airport. But they have the vision and it's paying off. Good luck to them.
Yeah, it's a funny business. Well, anyway, Simon, let's take a walk around. So we're in this park. We're outside the Imperial War Museum, and we can see these big guns that used to be on a battleship in front of us. And there's all these different gardens, isn't there? So we'll maybe take a look at some of the gardens and we'll chat as we as we walk around. I guess this is a place that you know very well, isn't it?
This
park.
3 minutes from my house. Can I just mention, we had an appointment to meet at the Berlin Wall.
Yes, we did.
Because there is a slab of that
desperate
testimony to post-war vileness.
And that's where we were just standing. Exactly. Yeah, we couldn't not mention the piece of Berlin Wall, which is a fantastic memory of that era, isn't it? And it's good that they've got that here. It's a very, very interesting part. You can learn a lot about history while you're here. But there are these different gardens, aren't they? So we're going to have a look at this is the Tibetan Peace Garden. We're going to go in there.
Opened by the Dalai Lama.
Right.
Himself. It's nice.
Have you ever talked to him, Simon?
No, I certainly have not. I like the way that this is just a kind of South London. It doesn't have great parks. At least sort of South Inner London doesn't have great parks. And the good thing about this one is that it's just a sort of a patch of green. with the Imperial War Museum in the middle, but with lots of little individual themed gardens. Yes. So it's, I suppose you could make a case for this being a theme park.
Yes, of course. And it's there's a sort of pillar here with some thoughts of
from 1999.
Dalai Lama, 1999.
Beings are passing through a crucial period in our development. Conflict and mistrust have plagued the last century. Well, they haven't done a great deal for this century.
I was just thinking.
Which brought immeasurable human suffering and environmental destruction. There we are. It remain as a symbol to remind us that human survival depends on living in harmony and on always choosing the path of non-violence in resolving our differences.
Something to remember. That's something that we could definitely take to heart. Well, I was going to ask you about some environmental stuff later, Simon, but seeing as we're here and it mentions it on that kind of inscription, what are your views about, you know, the environment and the future of travel and how we kind of go forwards, but, you know, still being able to travel? Do you think there's a way where you can kind of hopefully protect the environment and we don't have to stay at home every day? Do you think there's a way forwards?
Well, yes. And the default is that we just carry on exactly as we have done. And obviously, and here we are going back to short-term political expediency, so targets on electric cars and other environmental measures have been put on hold because the Prime Minister thinks that people were more likely to vote Conservative if he says those things, which is just unspeakable. But there is no binary answer, of course. However, what you can do is, first of all, take the view, as I do, if you would like to, that travel wreaks a lot of damage on the planet. But travel, in the sort of broadest sense, including tourism, actually brings huge benefits to large parts of the world. Socially, for those of us lucky enough to travel widely abroad, and economically for host communities. But of course, air travel does a lot of damage. Road travel and sea travel also do a lot of damage. Rail travel not so much, but to regard it as a clean zero impact form of transport, I think is wrong. So you can, as a society, decide what is an appropriate level of travel, and that can be then achieved by using, well, tax actually is a pretty effective weapon. At the moment, £200 to get on a business class ultra long haul flight from the UK. I kind of think, well, you could possibly put that up a bit, quite possibly put it up quite a lot, because those are the flights that cause the most damage, and so therefore, oh, we've got a very, very nice dog.
Friendly Labrador.
Yeah, absolutely. Black Labrador, looking very, very confused at your microphone, and frankly, who can blame it? So I think the great opportunity is to have an honest conversation about tax and travel. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry to go on about the current government, but all they have done is made it cheaper to fly between Scotland and London by halving air passenger duty. This is
strange decision, that, isn't it?
Well, not if you wish to curry favour with them, with people who want to fly rather than take the train. But that is obviously ludicrous. But there are many, many ways of nudging people to do less harmful things. And there's also, and I will just touch upon it if I may, the idea that you can have everyone gets one flight a year, and then after that you're going to be paying a lot more. That's completely unworkable. How does it apply to people who are flying into the UK, for example? If you really can find a way of getting me only to fly once a year tax-free, then I will, or without extreme penalty, I'll just take you around to see this wonderful totem that has been created. Then I will find ways around that, as everybody else will. You know, ferry across to Dublin and
the Dublin Dodge.
There. Yeah, exactly. So there's all sorts of things. Oh, I can't actually find a way through, but another fine bit of a sculpture there.
There's a big totem pole sculpture.
Just remind us that we are all part of the same world and slightly offset from a very attractive stand of trees.
Yes.
Which are giving us a little bit of shade when we actually don't need it. But nice to see the beginnings of autumn there.
And lots of dogs playing around in the park as well.
Yes.
So, Simon, you're obviously... you're still travelling a lot and you're always exploring new places. I wonder if people probably always ask you what your favourite place is. We won't ask that, but are there?
Well, you can if you want to.
What I wanted to know, are there places that you've not been that you'd love to go to?
Oh, so many of them.
Yeah.
Where to start?
Where's on your list?
Well, right. First of all, I don't particularly like the term bucket list. You know, things that you've absolutely got to do before you have to hang up your travelling boots, possibly due to no longer being alive. But I, of course, have an awful lot of places I want to go to. I've just come back from hiking through the Pyrenees. There's many great bits of walking I want to do across Europe. Maybe the Tatra Mountains, which I haven't fully explored, which straddle the border between Slovakia and Poland. Further afield, well, West Africa. I bet I've only been to Gambia and Senegal, I'm embarrassed to say. And I've met loads of great people from West Africa, and I'd love to go and see and explore the countries they live in. So I will get around to that. And also Central Asia, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, and also Iran. Again, I've heard great things about these places. Turkmenistan is supposed to be even madder than North Korea. And Iran, of course, really important nation with, I've heard, the most hospitable people on earth.
Yeah.
So that's just a sort of flavour. But mostly I just, relish every opportunity. And, of course, there's parts of the UK I haven't yet visited, and near Europe and so on. So Germany, I think, is a particularly rich country in terms of the experiences it can deliver.
I agree. Yeah, lots of nice things there. And it's funny, isn't it? I sometimes think, I don't know if you agree, Simon, people kind of follow, I don't know if we have a kind of pack instinct. It's like one person has been somewhere and then we all kind of want to go there. And to me, are often the most interesting places are the ones that people don't go to, that are kind of off the beaten track somewhat. Germany's almost a kind of local example of that. People don't necessarily go travelling there as much as they do to other European countries. But it's, got a lot to offer.
I've never been to the Saarland, which is ridiculous. This is the kind of lump of Germany that sits just above Strasbourg, the easternmost city in France, and it kind of goes from there to roughly Luxembourg. And I imagine, and I haven't yet been there, but I'm going there next month, it will be a kind of a corner of Germany which has...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Probably some quite exotic influences, maybe from France, maybe from from Belgium, and I'm just looking forward to that. And here's the dog that you booked as an extra to enliven the podcast.
Yes, every episode does normally have a barking dog.
Yeah.
In the background, it's
I can't even.
He's got a very good haircut, that dog.
Yeah.
But, they're training him, man. Very good. very obedient dog. I think it's interesting you mentioned Central Asia and Africa as well, Simon. I think those are places, again, which people don't go to very often. Africa's the big gap in my kind of travel knowledge. I've been to so few places in Africa. I would love to go and see more of them. It must be...
I'm interested in that, Chris, because... Mm. Clearly, but in particular Morocco, pretty accessible.
Yes, I've been there.
Oh, okay.
And I've been to Tunisia, I've been to South Africa, but
there's
so many countries in the middle, isn't there?
Oh, there is. And partly, I'll tell you what, it's due to the shameful restrictions on aviation. That African governments tend to impose. They almost all want to protect their national airlines, and therefore they hate the competition which has done so much to unlock and democratise travel in Europe and indeed in Southeast Asia. And it could so do the same in Africa, where very regretfully
you don't have many Ryanairs, do you, in Africa?
No, well, people tried it, and very creditably, he tried a company called FastJet.
Mm.
But I understand quite a lot of people needed to be paid off before anything could happen, which is just a disaster for people. And I think, between the two biggest cities in Africa, Cairo and Lagos, there's something like 1737 a day. Whereas if you look at a route between two population centres like that in Europe or the US, you would have 20.
Yes.
So maybe some people will say, actually, well, it's good not having that much aviation. But my goodness, Africa needs it. We're just coming up here, Chris, to the Soviet War Memorial. Just a memory here, whatever people think about Russia and its absolutely vile invasion of Ukraine. The sacrifice made by the people of the Soviet Union was extraordinary. 27 million Soviet citizens and servicemen and women who died for the Allied victory in World War II.
Yeah, massive death toll from the Soviet countries in World War II. So this is it looks like a person, perhaps?
Yeah, a crouching figure with a bell above them. And the message in marble, we shall remember them.
Yeah.
I wonder if we will.
Yeah, and then in Russian as well. Yeah. How's your Russian?
No, plokka, but I can have a go. Vechnaya vam pamyat. There we are.
Duh.
Yes, so that is basically, yeah. We will remember them. But, yes, an odd thing to find in a park in South London, perhaps.
Yeah, I think it's nice when you find these these
well,
memories in
parks.
Well,
come to the Royal Garden.
Well, yeah, let's go.
So we've done
let's
Tibet,
go over there.
We've done Canada and the Soviet War Memorial. Now we've got the whole world.
The whole world in the garden.
But, I mean, I'd manage your expectations if I were you. and it looks as though it might actually be
oh,
up,
no. But, we're going to put a call into Southwark Council to see if we can get it opened.
Yeah, oh dear. It is. I think we're in Lambeth now, although you're quite right. This is the indistinct borderland between the boroughs of Lambeth and Southwark.
Is that why they put...
Oh, no, it's Southwark. It's definitely Southwark. But the other side of that road...
Is that Lambeth?
You're in bandit country. That is Lambeth.
So that's why they put the section of the Berlin Wall up.
Yeah, exactly. Here we are.
Oh, no. You can hear that's the noise of a locked door.
Well,
So we won't be going in the World Garden, but no. Maybe we'll come next time and maybe look around that. And there's a sundial.
Taller than you, which is which is saying quite a lot. Doesn't have anything sort of useful on it like the various readings, although that might be north in that direction. Who knows?
I'm not sure. This sounds very stupid. I'm not sure if I'm very good at telling the time of the sundial. So
no, well, that's because they're not very good at demonstrating the time. Because
so that points north, doesn't it? Is that right?
Well, the idea is that it will. So here we have, dear listeners, something which looks like one of those stylized pictures of the sun with rays shooting off at intervals around it. There's a big bar which you can hear here.
Simon knocking it.
which is sticking upwards, and the light falls on it. And the idea is that these lines here, if they were properly calibrated, would tell us what the time is at certain points. But of course, you need to adjust for the seasons and the orbit of the Earth around the sun. But there we are.
And we can listen. This is an even bigger bar than the one at the Travel Media Awards.
and I think I was just wondering whether we can actually stand on the on here and peer into.
Oh
the
yes, bar. Let's try. Let's try. Can we see?
No,
we just we're standing on a bench now, but we can't see
much into the.
No. Well, I want to come back though. We'll do it again sometime, and we'll look in the World Garden. What are some of the best features of the World Garden, Simon?
Well, that's a good question, Chris. I'm going to give you my best politician's answer. I'll say what I can tell you is there are many, many parts to this garden. No, I've never been in there because
it's only when
I was researching this ahead of your visit that I knew about most of the other bits. And I thought, oh, World Garden, how fantastic. I didn't try the door, though, which I should have done if I was properly researching this.
Well, next time we'll get on to Southwark Council's press office.
Yeah.
Are they familiar with you? I'm sure they're
not. No, they're not. Reason why they should be.
You never posed a question to local council?
No. not about this. Well, the fact that I didn't even know whose land we were on.
Yes.
But, yes.
We'll try again. We'll try again another time. We'll try again another time. We'll wrap it up soon, Simon. But before we finish, I think I asked you when you were contributing to the railway book about some funny things that had happened to you when you were travelling on the trains, and you mentioned. You mentioned the experience in Italy.
Yes,
that tickled
the
me.
Of the train. Yeah. Oh, thank you for reminding me. Yeah, this was the thing which really completely amazes me is that I'm extremely old. I've been travelling forever because I've come from Crawley, and therefore that's the natural response to being born in the Sussex New Town. and yet, weird stuff keeps happening all the time, and it's great. Because just staggering stuff. So, as everybody who's ever been on a train knows, trains are sometimes late for whatever reason, and very often you won't know what that reason is. You also know that if you're on a connecting journey,
what's that?
I think that's an about E190.
Yeah. BA.
British Airways City Flight.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we are. You also know that if you're on a connecting journey, the first bit messes up. They'll either hold the train or they won't. And if the delay on the first train is quite significant, they won't hold the train. So how nice of you to remember. So this was travelling from Parma, P-A-R-M-A, going to a little town just north of La Spezia. And I'm embarrassed to say I can't even remember what the little town was called. But I was it was due to get into the station somewhere in the mountains above the Mediterranean coast. And it simply set off half an hour late, got later and later and later. And it was clear we were all going to miss our connections.
Yeah.
And then they suddenly said, because this was the connection I was waiting for, was the train, the express going through to Florence, they suddenly said, well, sorry, missed all the connections, so this train is going to become another Florence Express.
Right.
And off we set at great haste without having to do anything. So, yeah, look, trains go wrong all the time.
Yeah.
I have climbed out of the door of a which was easier said than done, of a Cuban train in the Havana suburbs because I had a plane to catch and it just came to a complete halt. And
so you just got off.
All you could do was it'd be like getting off the train, I don't know, in Willesden.
Yeah.
And then walking to the nearest road and thumbing a lift or grabbing an Uber or something. So I've done that. I love travelling by train. That is my default mode for long journeys, which is one reason I'm so flipping cross about HS2. But you then, again last summer, crikey, going across America where I think their trains are absolutely dreadful. And I do not have sympathy with the view that, oh, the best way to see America is by train, because they really don't care about their trains. Well, they care in that they will pour trillions of dollars into subsidising them, but they're still no good, except maybe in the northeastern corridor. But climbing aboard at this tragic... Here we are. We're looking at quite an imposing neoclassical facade here for the Imperial War Museum.
It used to be a mental hospital?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. But anyway, so a handsome building, just as the main railway station in Detroit is.
Yes.
And so I was in Detroit last summer, and I wanted to go to Chicago. So the obvious way to do that is by train. But you have to get this tram from central Detroit, close to the magnificent old but now decayed
abandoned
railway station. The funny thing about the tram is that they literally say sometimes the fare is, I don't know, $1.50, and sometimes it's free. And no further explanation at all. So I happen to find it on a day that's free. And you get to the Amtrak station, it's just one sad little platform, and the train comes in, and it's only been going for half an hour, it's already half an hour late, and they bundle you on board. But I was having a chat with the guy on the platform, and he said, right, I'm going to upgrade you. And he told his colleague on the train, give this guy a seat in business or whatever.
They recognise you?
No, absolutely not. No.
No, it's Simon Calder, put him in business.
No, absolutely not. And I was put into business. I thought, is this it? Crikey. Just a ridiculous thing. But we are lucky to be travellers. This is still, and 2019 was, from all points of view, the golden age of the traveller. Yeah. If you are lucky to be in the wealthy West, even in, well, Britain is sort of still clinging desperately onto that status. And after COVID, everything's more expensive, less choice, more hassle than it used to be. But frankly, being extremely old and knowing how awful things were, this is still, the second best of times, and I'll take that.
Yeah, that's a good way to end it. Just before we do, did you go on the monorail in Detroit? Because I always enjoy a trip around that, the most bizarre one-way circle monorail.
It is the most... there's a quite similar piece of odd transport infrastructure in Miami.
And, yes, and metro mover.
I didn't. It was not... It wasn't working for whatever reason. I'm sure to do with COVID or something. But tell me, Chris, what I missed.
Oh, well, it's literally a monorail that goes around in a circle around about seven stations. Very few passengers, as you might imagine. I'm not really sure why they built it. I think there was some federal money going around at the time. So they just managed to get it.
Doesn't connect with anything.
It connects with nothing. And I think they've periodically reversed the route, which is very, very, very strange. But I'm always happy to ride a monorail. I was very sad when Sydney took their monorail down. I think there's always been more monorails.
One more Detroit thought: if you are lucky enough to be in that in the Motor City, and this just shows you how mad things have got. You are just across the Detroit River from Windsor, Ontario, another country. And lots of people want to travel from Canada to the US using this really important corridor, and there is no public transport.
That doesn't surprise me.
I had to pay $50 for a taxi to somebody who was prepared to drive me
over an international taxi journey.
And he just said, look, I'm sorry, it's $50, but I've no idea how long I'm going to be stuck in the traffic coming back to go through customs. So
bizarre.
Awful. But anyway, they can only learn. We can all learn from great examples of how to do things around the world. And I hope that we all do.
Indeed. And long may you be there to document these things, Simon. I enjoy greatly your writing and your broadcasting. No plans to retire yet, I hope. Yeah, I hope you're still going to keep going until you're 100.
That's very kind of you. I've been at the... Crikey.
I was going to say, I used to write for The Independent. I think you're probably the longest serving.
Well, I started in 1994, but I started on a short-term...
They began
temporary...
86, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm gonna say agree enthusiastically with you. I can't remember the exact date, but anyway, in 1994, I started as travel correspondent on a short-term temporary retainer because nobody knew if I could do the job, and I'm still pretty much on the same contract. So I've got nothing proper to retire from, so I'll just keep going. I very much hope I put my feet up because everything is well with the world of travel. I absolutely do not wish to be the voice of travel doom, and I want everybody to have a great time and make the most of the opportunities they have to travel and enrich themselves and others.
Thank you so much for your time, Simon Calder. Appreciate it.
Oh, Chris, absolute pleasure to talk to you and your lovely listeners.
Thank you so much, Simon.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of Park Date. There's lots more where that came from, and there'll be more in the future as well. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review, good or bad, make them funny. I'll be reading out the best ones, and there'll be a prize for the one that makes me laugh the most. Name check some trees in your reviews and leave them wherever you get your podcast from. Check out our website, parkdate.co.uk, and if you see me walking around in the park, come and say hello. I think that was the sound of someone sneezing. Yes, thank you. Bye bye. Coming up on the next edition of Park Date, join me for a new feature, breaking into building sites. I'll be breaking into a different building site, starting with this work site in North London. Oh, here we go. Ah, yeah. Right, now to ride the JCB.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.